Hello?
Hello, Rome.
Yes, Andre, I was just calling you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just hanging out with a client. It has been tough days, but sorry, I saw your call. I'm seeing it right now. Sorry for the delay in connecting. And how are you?
Good, good. It's been a while.
It's been a while, that's right. It is a long time. Many things. Interesting market. With Supernova, the clients, they are very calm.
Good.
Because they are not calling every day that everything's moved. They know that we have our time to talk.
Very good.
And you? How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Where are you now?
I'm back down in Florida.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Perfect.
So, I've got a couple of things. Before I get to our stuff, what is on your mind? What are you thinking about?
Okay, but do you have some stuff to tell me, or do you want me to start?
Well, I have some stuff on LinkedIn.
Perfect.
You asked me about before, so, you know, I can get to that, to, you know.
Yes, let's start with that one.
Okay, all right. let me see. Okay, in general, I think, unless you've changed it, I mean, just this was my first impression, so I'm not, you know, going to, I'll be fair with you, but not gentle, okay?
Perfect.
All right, so, Justin, I think your write-ups are too long. Okay.
Okay.
You're writing for a school. You're writing for an essay in school rather than writing the way people read today. So you want to turn it into shorter paragraphs, hitting the point. So you don't have any paragraphs in your big write-up. So you can even separate them into different thoughts. So at least put paragraphs in if you're not going to separate them completely. I'd like to see a picture of your team rather than just your picture.
Okay.
And then we'll get to the team because I know you've been doing some work on that. But even if it's just a picture of you and your assistant, it's gives a sense of you're not just the sole proprietor there on the phone by yourself.
Okay. Okay.
I have nothing on Amanda in there, her bio and responsibilities.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Amanda.
I joined a little bit earlier, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay, thanks. So we want you a little more highlighted, Amanda, because you're so important to everything, but particularly in the Supernova model, you're critical. So we want to appear, you know, as a team always rather than as individuals. So you got to be in there.
Oh, the LinkedIn page, I thought it was like a personal profile, but...
No, you make it like a LinkedIn. You make it business.
Okay.
Make it business-like. You should have pretty much consistent whether you have a business Facebook page, which you should have also, and you should have a business LinkedIn page, and they should all look very similar to what you have on your on your website, with the firm, on the firm's website. They should all be very similar, and the pictures should be similar, etc.
Did Andres tell you about his divorce?
No, I'm not talking.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, about LinkedIn, you are saying that it will be shorter, a little bit better, or at least the paragraph separated. Pictures,
yeah.
I need a picture of Amanda and in the future of the whole team. Amanda should be somewhere in the bio, on LinkedIn. Perfect.
Yeah, bio and responsibility. So I want to know, you know, a little bit about her. And then I suggest you add the Supernova service model. Okay? You don't have to call it Supernova. You can just say, this is our commitment to our clients.
Okay,
so on your paragraph on you, I broke it down into A, B, C, D, E, okay? Work, you got it all about work, okay? Which is fine. That's great. That should be in paragraphs, though. Then it should be community involvement. Then it should be you have recent training. Okay, so that's recent training, family, and then hobbies. So they understand you're a person, not just a working machine.
Okay. This sounds perfect, but in reality, I do not have any hobby, family, perfect. Is what I have. My
family of future pies, Andres.
Yes, I'm really happy with that one. In the recent trainings, I have not done anything on the last 12 months. Nothing.
Well,
really.
You became an alternative investment director, no?
Yes, but that is in the subject. When you start, the first thing that it says. Next year I'm going to be doing a training. It will be the certified on international, the carrier. It will be...
You went through Supernova training.
Okay. Supernova training. How would you explain the Supernova training to put it in a paragraph where it makes sense to the readers?
I would say, I don't think you need a paragraph, but you know, you can simply say that I hired a Supernova consulting group, and we've done a complete makeover of our practice based on modern management and leadership strategies.
Modern management?
Yeah, and service, management, leadership, I mean management, service, and leadership.
I hire a Supernova consulting, group, and we did...
And we did a complete... makeover, I think you could use that term, makeover of our practice. Focusing on implementing modern management, service, and leadership strategies.
And leadership?
Yeah, leadership and strategy.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Sounds very good.
Yeah.
Where do I use that? Okay.
I mean, this has been a big commitment. It's a year-long commitment, though. Don't take it lightly. Tell your client.
Okay. Yes, this was one of the reasons I get on Supernova, how to put it, how to set it right for the leaders. Nobody will know if it's a 2 day or a 12 month. I think it will be good to put the length of this commitment.
Yeah, you can call it, Supernova 365.
Supernova 365.
Okay. What we have on the front is the Supernova process, exceptional client service, and consistent growth. So you could say we focus on the Supernova process, which is internationally known for developing exceptional client service and consistent growth.
For developing exceptional.
I got it.
I'm on the spot.
And you can put, our website in there if you want, just to give it credibility, and put my name if you want. Okay. Marketing.
Perfect. Perfect. I like that. I think it will be, that will complete the recent training. Community involvement. The only thing that I'm with the community, the only thing that I'm involved is with church.
Okay.
That's it.
That's okay.
Well, you've done the Morgan Stanley volunteer community activities, no?
Yes.
The painting, yeah. The houses, Habitat for Humanity, and all that.
There you go.
And food for, what is it called? The Florida, the other one.
Mm.
So we can add those too.
Yes, that is a good idea.
Service. Global.
Yes, that is a good idea.
The feeding with feeding South Florida, that's what it's called. And Habitat for Humanity.
Good.
And you've done it for the past 3 years, I think, no? Andres.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got married together.
Excellent.
And then you can add the church. If you would like that, or do you think, Rob, that it's like going into the religion, which
I think it's great. I think it's fine.
Oh, you think that the religion part?
Pretty fine. Most people that you're doing business with are Christians anyway, I would gather, or if they're not, if you're Jewish, and it's the Jewish community, I mean, there's an affiliation there. It's okay.
Okay.
You don't have to, but it's okay. Especially if you're more than a pastor.
Okay. Understood. I like it. And on the work stuff, we are okay with what we have. but we have to separate by paragraph. I think that the reason why it was not separated is because it doesn't fit not even one word more.
Yeah, then I cut it back.
It started when this
they
paragraph
didn't have
started
more
words
because there was no more space, right?
That's
a great one, Andres.
We have to cut it back. It originally was double the size. And then we start cutting until we see in that space.
Write it like a newspaper. Make it bold, you know, make it hard hitting. Most important things up front. Hit it hard.
Okay.
Short
and sweet.
Short and sweet. People don't like to read long things. They want to get to. They want to get to know you quickly and zoom through it, and then you know they'll read what their eye is drawn to. So if you have things in bold, they'll go to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. Something else with LinkedIn.
I think that was fine. I think, it's a matter of you can use it as a billboard or you can get involved in it. That's up to you. It's a tool to be used. You know, for me, you know, I've gotten a little bit away from it recently, but I was on there every day. Connecting with people, putting articles on, just networking and writing articles. Now I have more flexibility when it comes to that, no question. But, you know, I was pretty high ranked among all the people. I had like 5,000 people that were, that I had on my LinkedIn page and, you know, that I connected to and, you know, I'd put in an article and I'd get a lot of people reading it, you know. So that part's good. You know, you get known and trusted in your community. But my community is, you know, the financial services community. So it's a very specific community. So, you know, you say, you know, what is your community? You know, that's kind of your niche. We talked about that. So if you want to appeal to your niche, and it's a, you know, it's people that play polo, then, you know, you put in articles on what's happening in the world of polo, and you connect to all the polo team owners and things like that. So it's just, you know, it depends on what you are interested. I'm interested in training and for the financial services industry. So I'm connected to financial advisors and managers and other trainers and, you know, all the people in our business. That's not what you want. You know, you want your niches of people that you're interested in connecting to. Now there's some internal. You know, this is a good idea we came up with today, which is something you intuitively do, but we don't consciously think of it. But we're unconsciously competent in some things. So, for example, we develop a Rolodex of trusted advisors and people that we use. But we don't think of it as the same thing internally as we do externally. So we kind of blend the whole thing together, and it shouldn't be. There should be a group of enthusiastically endorsed professionals within your own organization that you know you can trust, and that when you need something done, you can go to it. Well, Amanda knows her trusted people that she can go to when she needs to get a problem solved. Okay? And what I find, though, is that people will go through a lot of work to get something solved, and then they won't keep track of who the people are that actually solve the problem. And that you don't want. You want to make sure you keep those people in your Rolodex, because the next time it happens, it may not happen for two more years, but you call them immediately and they fix it for you. So it just makes common sense, but common sense isn't always commonly done. You know, we tend to just kind of think, well, I'll never have that problem again. Well, you will. Of course you will. So, you know the people in 401k and how they get things done, and you know the people in lending, and you know cross-border problems. And so you have your go-to people. It's like you have your own, your go-to people, you know, when you have a tax question, an external, maybe an internal person you go to, but there's also a CPA or attorney or somebody that you meet. When you need something, they're your go-to guy. They're your center of influence. So that's really, you know, that's really important. Now, those people, external particularly, should all be on your LinkedIn page. You know, they should all connect. You should have all connected to all your centers of influence. Externally, particularly.
Center of influence. Okay. That's a great idea, and I have not forced myself to do it.
Well, it just increases your visibility.
Agreed.
And the very first thing they do, Andreas, is say, when they refer somebody to you, or they refer their friend to you, first thing they do is Google you. And the algorithms will take them to LinkedIn right away, which is promised. And, or they, you know, they take them to these vague websites that have your registration, which is not where you want them to go because it doesn't say anything. So they get very frustrated and learn very little from their Googling you unless you have a good firm website, which the firm doesn't let you really make those too interesting. But yours can be very interesting and yours can be pretty productive.
Perfect. No, that's good. I will take the time to you to put all the center of influence to solicit the friendship of all the center of influence that I have contacted in LATAM.
Well, and you know what it does, Andres, just think about it, right? So you've got a center of influence, and he's got let's say he's got 500 people that he's connected to, right? You can look at the ones that, you know, are most interesting to you, and know who it is that he's, you know, that maybe there's some prospects in there. Maybe there's people you have in common that you both know, but you've never taken the time to do business with them. So their lists are really can be helpful in terms of your prospecting, especially if it's a very good friend or a good solid business relationship with you.
Understood.
You know, you just call them up and say, hey, you know, I saw that you're friends with such and such, and I'd love to meet him. And then you just talk about it.
I think that once we create the team, we're going to have somebody that will be focusing on that, because it's a lot of time consuming with working inside the social media. It takes a lot of time, and I'm not sure that I want to do it. Actually, I'm sure that I do not want to do it. We're going to have to bring somebody, but for that, first we need a team, because all that cost of the person that will do that, it has to be diluted in more space.
Okay, so what's going on in your personal life?
Okay. We were interviewing with Vero about creating a team. It finally didn't work. Her business, it was not compatible with ours, and we decided to to break up and to continue alone. And I am partnering with the third person that was there, who does only institutional business. It's absolutely different from what a normal FA does. He doesn't have clients. He just trades. He's a trader for companies like pension plans, the companies that they need to trade their stocks directly in New York. Mm-hmm. And they use Morgan Stanley. That is this guy. We don't have, our practices are nothing in common, but we have a lot to do in common. I have the owner of companies, but we do not manage the money of the companies. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that they work on pension plans and that I have never talked to them, that in the future we're going to be starting talking to them. And we're going to do something together. And last night, we started again interviewing teams, and we went for dinner with a team that is from New York. It's a $3.5 million producer, 60-year lease, and works in New York. And the partner, who is in Miami, is a $2 million producer. He's sitting here in Miami. They used to work and live in Switzerland. And when Morgan Stanley closed the office in Switzerland, they moved, one moved to New York and the other one moved to Miami.
Interesting.
One is the older person. It's originally from Puerto Rico, but he grew up in the States. And the second one is originally from Venezuela. And he also grew up here late in, since 2000, here in between Switzerland and the States.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start today. I will send them the, I prepare some documents for understanding the practice of everybody before you when we start talking. I learned that with Vero. And I prepare a form, it's a 20 pages form, where I try to ask for everything. It's like a scanner of your practice.
Yeah.
After they send that back, they were interested in our both expertise. Mine's gonna be alternative investment, Rui's gonna be institutional. And they do not do anything of that. None. Zero. They manage, today they are managing 650 million between both. And it is pretty good, the idea, because we're going to be creating a team who will have two offices, New York and Miami, focusing on the international side. Only international side, nothing else. Not domestic.
Yeah.
And we're going to have, the idea is to have two CFAs, one CFA, one CFP,
yeah.
One Kaya that will be me, one what else? Yeah, I don't remember what else. Okay. And everybody will have roles right now. The four of us works with one person. In that case, starting, if we create all this, we're going to be an eight-people team, if we decide to do it. We're going to do it slow. We are not going to do it fast. And first is first. First, they will have to fill out all this information. They are going to receive our information. And from there, we can start. They are bankers. As a private banker in a regular bank, that's what we do. The old style banker.
So, their average client size is how big?
Between 5 and 25.
Yeah. So the minimum $5 million. Minimum size $5 million.
Yes. Minimum size $5 million.
Yeah, I think it's a good. You know, that's a pretty good model. I think you'd have some credibility. How are you going to split business? I mean, what are you going to do?
This job starting, we don't have that model to start, but if I have to propose something, I would say, if we are doing, the three of us is doing 2 million, and the one is doing 3 million, we should think about $9 million team. There will be a splitting. Three out of nine is 33%, goes for one person, and the other 66 will go to the three that will do most of all the other 6 million. That's what I think. I don't have any idea what is right on this one. It could also, it could not be the team. We are just interviewing. But the conclusion after the interview was they are interested in continue talking, and we are interested in continue talking.
Okay.
And like the four of us want to continue.
Well, the big challenge always is if one person grows a lot, what happens? So you got to deal with that up front. So if you've got, you know, everybody's taking a third or something, you know, or you've got six people and they're each taking, you know, half of a third, whatever that is, one person grows dramatically, you know, is working like a madman and has star skills. What do you do? You know, you got to deal with that up front. But that person should make more money. And that's the game. You know, we love everybody, but growth is what we're paying for.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean they make it all, but they make a bigger percentage because they're growing. And of course, they're growing maybe because of everybody else. But
that is important. Like if I go in the street and I bring a client that is $150 million, it's that or even $1 billion. I brought it. I will. If I was alone, like Andres Anía, there's no way that Andres Anía was going to bring a $1 billion client or an institutional client. The only way that I will bring their clients is because I have a team that will support.
Yep.
If I have time to be traveling and visiting all these people, it's because I have people in the office taking care of the business. I cannot do it.
That's right. But there's still the rainmaker is the one that always gets anxious and wants to take a bigger percentage. So, you know, just knowing you're very generous, some people aren't. And so you got to kind of think through that ahead of time. And argue that up. So if they're bringing in a ton of business and you're not, then, you know, how does that work out? It shouldn't mean that you break up. It means that you renegotiate, just like baseball teams renegotiate all the time with their players. And it doesn't mean that it's contentious. It just means if you're getting you're going to back to fair. Okay? I would say fair but not equal. Some things are more valuable than others. You know, managing a portfolio can be very valuable, especially if it's done very well. But if you're relying on other people and you're just asset allocating, that person doesn't need to make a lot of money. Okay? It's convenient for you, but you can hire an analyst for not a lot of money and so forth. So it's the rainmaker that typically makes the most. So that's all I'm telling you. That's the biggest reason I see the teams breaking up. Is that the perception 3, 4, 5 years from now is that I'm working harder than you are. I'm bringing in more business than you are. It's not a fair deal, and you won't renegotiate. Therefore, I'm leaving.
Okay, and what do you think about doing something very fair? That is, every 3 months, we do a trailing 12 of each of the members, and we divide it, and we change the splits.
It's too often. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, 3 months.
Okay.
No, you could. You take a look at it.
Maybe.
You take a look at it every year, and you consider renegotiating. Okay, maybe it's great. Maybe you don't need it. But if some people are feeling as though they're not being fairly treated, then you renegotiate. But it isn't just your current 12. You see, that's what gets kind of tricky, especially if you're really working as a team, because, you know, you're trailing, whose trailing 12 is it when you ask them to bring in $1 billion and the three of you do it together? I mean, is it a third, a third, and a third? Or is it half and half? Or is it, you know, how would that look? If you're going to try and manage it trailing-wise, how do you split everything? And that should be sort of figured out ahead of time, okay? So if I bring you in, when we calculate our trailing 12, this means that you get half and I get half. You don't get two-thirds because there's two of you. Okay? So think about that, right?
I know it's hard, but why nobody does it? Because it's not all, if all the writers will have a 3, 4, 5, 10 people team. But if you make it, if it's possible to make it, there's no way that there's no way that a client could tell you, I will not work with you. Because we are going to have different skills.
Right.
Different is, we don't, actually these four people that are just talking about it, these four people didn't have any country in common. We're going to be growing immediately. We're going to be working, they work with Europe, they work with Colombia, they work with Mexico. And I do Chile and Central America, and the other person does Peru.
So
we're going to be doing almost all Latin and Europe, except of Brazil and Argentina. It sounds good. I know it's tough. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort. And I'm not even sure if it works. But if it does, it's a home run. If it doesn't...
Yeah, I mean, if you want it to work, it will work. I mean, you know, you just have to be understanding, and they have to be good guys. Everybody, remember one of the things I talked to you about. When you're picking centers of influence, pick people that are givers, not takers. All right? It's very important. You shouldn't be doing business with somebody that's a taker, meaning they want... Or even a matcher. You know, a matcher is somebody who says, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. A taker means, I'll give to you, but my intention is to take more, always. A giver is a person that gives because they like giving. They like helping people. They like referring people. They like giving good service. They enjoy it. They don't just give good service to get more business. They give it because it's the right thing to do. So you want to be in a team with givers. It will make your life so much better. Amanda is a giver. Okay? And she understands that. There, you know, a lot of financial advisors are takers because it's what makes them successful in some ways. Because they're greedy. And they want money, and so they work hard, but they're not that interested in the client. It's a gift. You've seen it. I guarantee it. Right?
Yes. Andres is like that. It's so, I think, like Rob said, you should find somebody. Well, I know you will, but when you look at it, you have to look at the same ethics that you have. As clients first.
Right. Ethics and values are the most important things.
Yes, vale.
And so, you know, who can help you on that is their teammates, Amanda. If you talk to their assistants and get a heart-to-heart going on, you're going to find out a lot more than Andres will ever find out.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
They know the truth, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if they're going to steal it. They're going to steal the beans, but
you
I
can,
guess...
You can be smart, right? You don't have
right.
to say, I'm calling to get... I'm not calling to get the beans. I'm calling to introduce myself, and our boys are and girls are looking to join up, and I thought it would be a good idea for us to just meet.
Interesting. Never thought about that.
Right. So you reach out and say, look, let's meet. You don't have to meet.
Grab a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah, if you can have a cup of coffee, it would be fabulous. But even if you just meet on the phone and chat, you know, once a week, you're going to get the information after a while.
Very, very good idea, because all the people that is in this industry, they are good sellers. And
oh,
they want to tell me,
whatever
they want to tell me.
And that's why I told them that the other time when I immediately met, I told him, he's laughing. He's laughing because I told him. I'm good at reading people. And it's not just that it's a good or bad person or great essay. It doesn't matter, you know. It's just when you're with teams, I think personality and values are, you know, the most priority. And you have to blend or to have a good chemistry. And Andres, he's great and he's, you know, has a great attitude, but he's a stressful kind of guy. He's, you know, he's intensive. So you cannot have another intensive person in the team. You gotta have some balance. Somebody that can, you know, mellow you down a little bit and then you can, you know, give some intensiveness to the other person. Or...
Well, you can have two right persons, you know, type
A. If it's a four team, yes.
If they're a giver. See, a person can be a type A personality. I'm pretty intense. At least they told me I was.
They never identify themselves as intense. It's hilarious.
Right. But I knew I was intense. You know, I knew I was very intense, but I always called my... They say, you know, Rob, are you intense? I said, no, I'm Mr. California Layback. And they'd all... But they knew we didn't get to be number one without being intense. You know, the coaches got pretty intense.
Yeah.
But I was also a giver, you know, and that's a big deal. I mean, you got to be with somebody. Somebody can be very committed and intense and everything, but they're very much a giver. They care. I'm a coach. You know, you can't be a coach and be a taker, really. Not in it in coaching. You know, and you're always trying to help the other guy get better. And so that, by nature, is a giver, you know. It's a kind of a giver person. And so that's why I was always a better doubles player than I was a singles player. But I was intense. Nobody's more intense doubles player than I am. But I'm not as intense playing singles because I don't care as much for myself. I care for our team. I care for, and that's what I'm hearing from Andres, I think, is that you like the idea of being on a team or you wouldn't be pursuing it so much.
Yes.
And so you're a giver. Now just make sure the other people are givers and they get it, you know, that this is about, you know, helping each other to grow. I mean, it probably is up to you. You just join a partnership and assume everybody'd be a nice person. But that's not the way life is. So I used to have to, the reason I know for you, Amanda, to call is because when I would interview managers, right, managers are great salesmen of themselves, right? When they interview fabulously. So everybody looks like a star when you're interviewing. So I would have my admin manager and my service manager call their admin and their service manager and just say, you know, hey, I've got a, you know, whatever. They somehow get in touch with them and get, you know, under the guise of
information.
Yeah, under the guise of something else, they'd call and find out about them. And, you know, had I done that all along, I would have saved myself a lot of pain. Because some people just aren't what they seem like they are in an interview. And the staff's never going to come out and say my boss is a jerk.
Right.
But they are. And so you got to find that out ahead of time.
Okay.
Okay.
Understood.
You know, it's such a simple thing, but it's the most dangerous thing in the world, is to get two people with conflicting values.
And I can tell you a lot of stories about that. Not fun. Especially when you hire somebody, you bring them in, and they move their family, and then you gotta figure out a way to fire them. You know? It's pretty awful. Because they just don't work. It's just not a good fit. You know it right away, too. That's the bad thing.
Yep, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But it was very helpful, like always, Rob, talking to you. We're gonna continue and let you know. Can I share with you the questions that I'm doing to the people?
Sure.
It could be that you find that I'm not asking for something.
Well, make sure you're asking for their values.
How do you ask for values? The people is...
You give a... One of the ways to do it is give a list of values. You can just go on the internet and see, you know, give me a list of values, you know, and then pick from this list of 20 values. What do you think is the top 5 values that you have?
Okay. I did that with the last candidate, and the values that she told me were the right ones, but I will need to ask in this case for the weakness.
Yeah.
Because one of the weaknesses of her was what finally didn't click. On the values, she asked me, she told me the three most valuable values of her, and they were true. On this case, I would take your idea and I would do values and top 5 values and weakness.
Yeah, you can have the strengths and weaknesses.
Strengths
and weaknesses. All right, I think my next team is showing up, so I'm going to sign off. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for your time. Have a great day, Rob.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.